This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
That look. Just gotta give you that look, apparently.
Guten Tag, everyone. Welcome to episode 188.
Hey, you got it right without asking.
And what did you watch this week?
Nice.
My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What's up, John?
Oh, you know, stuff and things and stuff.
What is that? Is that a Zelda baseball t-shirt you got on?
It is. It's a Legend of Zelda baseball t-shirt.
Triforce of Power going on in the center there.
Well, it's all three. It's Power, Wisdom, and Courage.
Oh, there you go.
Which together form, you know, one giant robot. Five mini lions come together to form one giant robot.
Oh, yeah. So,
I don't have a lot of notes, but I watched a lot of shows.
I didn't watch a lot this week because I had NXT TakeOver on Saturday night, and I had Survivor Series on Sunday night. And
well, some real white people problems you got there.
Yep, it is. So I had a lot of wrestling to watch. And then Sunday, and the wife and I went up to the Maine Harvest Festival, where she won second prize in the Maine Fair Apple Pie Contest.
Nice.
Got herself a nice ribbon.
Nice.
$100.
How many people is she fighting against?
There was five in her division.
Like, were they all bare knuckle, or did they get to bring weapons?
It was a pie baking competition, so No, there was no fighting.
So she couldn't like run over.
There was no fisticuffs of any kind.
Turn off their stoves.
No, you baked them before and brought them up with a recipe card.
What?
Yep. So you didn't bake them there.
So you didn't bake them there on site. So who's to say that you actually baked it? Could have been store bought.
That's a fair question, but I'm pretty. You know, like. There's not a whole lot of people, I bet you, that can't tell, like, a Hannaford brand store-bought pie from a real pie.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You really think that if you put two pies in front of somebody, they'd be like, I can definitely tell the difference. This one's from Hannaford. You think so?
I said like a Hannaford, not specifically Hannaford, but like a grocery store type.
I don't know, man.
Walmart-based or something pie.
I think you're giving people a lot of credit. I think you're assuming that there are an awful lot of culinarians out there.
Okay, when you're considering a pie baking contest, mm-hmm. these people have already won on the fair level in Kate's category, mm-hmm. and now they're here, and they actually have trained chefs who are the judges, and I would like to think they would have the skill and ability to be able to note.
Okay. Were they on Chopped?
I don't know if they were on Chopped. I didn't look at their resumes.
I like that show.
There's a whole write-up
Chopped is great.
On the website. If you go to the Maine Harvest Festival website, there's a whole write-up on who the judges are.
They get so defensive.
Well, I don't know. Why are you getting so argumentative about this and challenging my wife's culinary skills?
Oh, I'm not. I asked why somebody wouldn't be required to bake up there because they could cheat and bring up a – I never said your wife did. I've tasted your wife's
well,
pie. Very good.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
There's a New England competition.
Ooh.
And that you actually do have to bake the pie there.
Nice.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really loud, wasn't it?
That was.
Whatever that was.
Sound like a nail shooting out of the wall.
Yeah.
Ding.
So, yeah, I had shit to do and I didn't watch ever. Like, I'm still behind on Emergence.
Okay.
And I basically just said, fuck off CW shows.
Yeah, I got that impression.
If I want to spend time watching good television, basically.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
They have considerably gone downhill.
They really have. And Batwoman isn't good.
It actually got better this week.
It
felt better. They introduced Alfred's daughter. Something Pennyworth. Julia, I believe.
And...
She kicks ass.
Selling point.
Oh, okay. She kicks ass. She's a spy, essentially, kind of like her dad, you know. Okay. She kicks a lot of ass. It was a decent episode, to be honest. They finally got their hands on the gun that can penetrate Batman's armor, or in this case, Batwoman's armor. Gave it to a guy named The Rifle, because, you know, Deadshot was taken. But Alice pulled a piece out of it so that it wouldn't work right, and, you know, the bullet would bounce off her armor. But they've had this whole thing where basically multiple people are pretty sure that Kate is Batwoman, so they pulled the old switcheroo where, you know, Batwoman's standing there, and they're like, look, Batwoman, we know what's going on. And then Kate shows up and goes,
hey, guys, what's going on, everybody?
Who are you talking to? And they're like, but if you're here and you're here, whoa!
The Batwoman costume.
Who do you think?
Luke Fox?
No. Okay, first off, Luke Fox is a guy. Secondly, Luke is black, and the whole bottom part of your face is exposed.
Hey, I don't know. Alice?
Pennyworth.
Because,
you know?
I was trying to not be obvious. That, and I was trying to be like on those shows where they blatantly go all the way around the obvious choice.
No,
they
I'm
talk
Batwoman. Woman. And Supergirl this week, we finally took Lena to the Fortress of Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally revealed her evil intentions and basically told Kara off and said, well, you were lying to me this whole time, and so now I'm going to betray you and destroy you. And she's going to use Myriad, that thing that turned people into zombies. Yeah.
Was Batgirl's feelings hurt? Did she cry? Supergirl's feelings hurt? Did she cry?
Yes. But it was hard to see the tears through the kryptonite veins coming on her face because, you know, Lena reversed the Fortress of Solitude's L protocol, you know, that was supposed to stop any Luther DNA that came in and, you know, turned it on Supergirl instead. Because, you know, she's a genius, and so she can figure out the Fortress of Solitude technology like that.
Level of hate I now have for this show.
Oh, yeah.
Has grown three sizes this day.
Flash was actually really good. It was a Bond episode, basically. It was James Bond.
Hold on.
I'm holding on.
Did you see that meme of the Grinch versus... And the Grinch hearts grew three sizes that day. And then he died, because that's a serious medical condition.
Yes.
Flash, James Bond episode.
Yeah, basically Ralph was trying to track down that woman who's named Dearborn, and she was last seen wearing a one-of-a-kind dress. Well, that dress showed up at this, you know, gangster's big gala type thing. And when I mean gangster, I mean like a Bond villain kind.
Oh, nice. Like Dr. No.
Oh, yeah. Who had like 10 rings on, but they were like electrified. So he's like,
So he's the Mandarin?
And he literally said at one point, Ralph was like, so you expect me to talk? And he's like, no. I expect you to die.
Yes!
Ralph goes, oh, come on. That is a line right from Dr. No. Stop it.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, Ralph was calling him out for being a Bond villain.
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
He even had Ultraviolet there as the henchman that never spoke a word because she had like a Hannibal Lecter mask over her face, which doesn't stop talking. But,
no, it doesn't. It just stops you from eating and biting people.
And Nash Wells, you know, not Harrison Wells, took the little intern who also has Ultraviolet powers, can't even remember her name, took her down in the tunnels because she is a UV spectrometer type thing. And he told her everything about, like, multiverses and that Barry Allen is the Flash. Like, he just laid out everything for her because the solid wall to lead to where the monitor has been hiding, he believes. He thinks there's a transdimensional portal on the inside of it.
Yeah.
But there are fragments of Eternium in the rock wall. Not where Prince Adam comes from.
Skeletor?
Yeah, exactly. So there's fragments of Eternium, and he needs to know where they are so that he can dig around them because, like, Barry tried to phase through the wall and bounced right off it. So she does her little thing, and she collapses. But there was, like, a word, and you could see the little fragments, so he's all set. He took a picture with his camera phone that's mounted to his wrist.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And,
good.
And Arrow, lots of, you know, father, son, father, daughter, bonding over fight clubs in Russia. You know, we never asked for this. We've been taking care of ourselves fine. Well, you're still kids to me, and
blah, blah.
But basically, there was that whole thing where the monitor told Black Canary, you know, hey, we can bring your world back from non-existence if you just betray Oliver.
Oh, so she will.
And then Lila was like, hey, he offers a good deal. I'm working for him right now. And Canary's like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh, yeah, I'm working for him, too. I'm trying to keep my family safe. So then at the end of the episode, like, Lila goes up to her and she's like, so you're ready to take the deal? And Canary's like, nope, not gonna. Oh, and by the way, here's your husband. He just heard all that. And she's like, sorry you had to hear it this way. And then tranks him and Oliver and Canary. And yeah.
What?
I just want the crisis to be here and get this shit all sorted out. Yeah, Ralph was, oh, that was the thing. Ralph was officially unveiled to the city. They gave him his own emblem patch now. It looks like an E and an M, but they're both the same symbol, just
one elongated man.
Exactly. And they introduced him at a press conference. And, you know, Barry's passing the torch to another superhero to defend the city because he knows he's going to be gone. But at the end of the episode in the PS, we got, what's his name there? Mohinder Suresh showing up to Ralph and being like, you're going to help me. And then it cut out.
And then it got awkward.
So, what did you watch?
Well, I watched Superstore, and it didn't aggravate and anger me this week.
The only thing that aggravated and angered me was Amy.
Amy.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah,
she's so sick of her personality.
Yeah.
She's trying to hook up her brother and Mateo.
It was annoying. Okay, so I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah.
I like the other side of things, where they had the new, basically like the
curbside
pickup where you're calling your order and in 30 minutes you arrive and they guarantee it'll be there for you. And she puts just Jonah and Cheyenne on it.
Yeah.
And the orders don't stop coming in. It's just crazy. And people are like, and people have these huge orders, or they say like, get something for my uncle's birthday. You know, just don't worry.
Get creative.
Get creative, yeah. You know, and Jonah finds out that Cheyenne actually unplugged the printer because she just couldn't take it anymore. So when he plugs it, it's just like ding, 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 ding for order after order after order come pumping out. And so they basically tell, you know, oh, and then Dina makes Glenn go outside to apologize to people.
Which he's thrilled about.
Because he's basically a professional apologizer.
And it's a crisp fall day and he just wants to be outside.
Yeah, it's great. He loves it. And then Dina, I like it when they challenge Dina to, she's going to fill six orders at once and do it. And then she's doing it. Like, she succeeds. And I remember Cheyenne's like, maybe we are complaining too much of belly aching. And then, oh, did they not want those glasses? And she goes to chase down these people and gets hit by a car. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And then at the very end, she's in the break room and Amy's like, so how did curbside go? And she's like, oh, it was fine. It was great. She goes, really? Oh, I thought we'd struggle with it. Well, corporate wants to do a 20-minute guarantee for Black Friday. So I guess we'll be all set. And then there was the
I enjoyed that, but I just couldn't stand Amy's.
Oh, no, not at all. And there was the dumb story about Garrett and Jerry bonding over the Oculus, you know, where Garrett basically saw an Oculus in somebody's pickup order. And he's like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. So, you know, where they were shilling for the product placement. And
oh, you want to talk about product placement? Wait till we get to the rookie.
Yes. And so then, like, oh, look, somebody else ordered the Oculus, and they've got all these cool junk foods. And Garrett's like, wow, that must be a cool person. Sanders' like, really? You want to meet him? Oh, look, it's Jerry. Maybe you two should go bond over this. And he's like, you suck. Which, basically, she sucked.
Yep. Yeah.
She did.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye. It's a funny way to say goodnight to your husband. You suck. Goodbye.
I do like that, Jerry's like, oh, it's so dark in here. Yeah, you gotta turn him on, guy. And then when they go to high five, it's like, oh, I didn't mean to cut your head off just then. So, okay. The Good Place.
The Good Place, yes. This was pretty cool.
We get like a really Chidi-centric episode, and there's just slow motion of Michael snapping his fingers to put Chidi in order, and basically has to remember every life he's ever had, period, from his first life all the way through. You get to see kind of
800 some odd afterlives. And
you get to see Chidi as a kid, and
presenting the 55-minute lecture, complete with your syllabus. Here, yes. Take one and pass it around.
As to why my parents should not get divorced.
And he thinks that he saved their relationship. And basically, someone points it out to him later. They're like, no, you actually, like, they just saw that you were a child and that they had to stick around for you.
Right.
You didn't save their relationship. They went to therapy. They went to therapy? When did they do that? Well, they didn't want you to know about it.
But. Right. But we see even as a kid, Chidi couldn't decide. I love how they start with Chidi as a baby and they're like, oh, how about Chidi? Or do you like this name? Do you have a tummy ache? Yeah.
Could not make a decision to save his life.
But we basically get to see everything that's going on with Chidi and then him and Eleanor, how they end up together like, time and time and time and time again and again and again and again and again and again. And then he wakes up and he's kind of cool as a cucumber.
Well, the last time before he got his memory wiped, he wrote something on a piece of paper and gave it to Janet and said, yeah. Hey, if I ever meet up with you again, hold on to this. And so now he pops out of it and he goes, hold on one second, Janet, do you have my piece of paper? And she goes, the fact that you remember that I have the piece of paper means you should remember what's on it. He goes, yep, I still want to see it.
Yeah, it says there is no answer, but Eleanor is the answer.
Yep.
But he seems real calm and at peace with the fact that, you know, there could be many solutions or zero solutions to this, but we're good.
Yep.
So it was a really good setup episode because it's one of those things like where they are now. It's like, how are they going to get to 13 episodes?
Oh, yeah.
But with this episode, it's like, oh, OK. And I enjoyed it.
I did as well. I really did.
Schooled.
Yes.
Friendsgiving.
Yes.
Despite a disinterested faculty, CB prepares a number of food items for his annual Friendsgiving party.
That really sounded like you said his anal Friendsgiving party.
Thank you, his annual. I love it when they're at lunch and he pulls out the fucking Apple Newton. And he's like, oh, no, hold on, delete. Battery's getting low, delete.
Because he wanted to keep a list of who was going to bring the food items.
I loved it. And then you go to CB's apartment, and it's just like screams generic 1990s with his Shaq Fu and his Sony 3-disc player with bass boom.
Bass boost. How am I going to boost my bass now? And his inflatable chairs and the ping pong table that was out on his outdoor patio.
He loves his place, and then it burns down.
Yeah.
Because he's got all these crock pots going and a rump appeal, set it and forget it. And then at the end of the episode, you see the real CB, and he's like, yeah, my place really did burn down.
Yeah. And
they announced it over the PA that your house was on fire. I ran outside. I ran back in. The secretary threw me her keys. I ran back outside. I went, wait, I don't know if she drives.
Right. Because he didn't have his own car.
He rode a bike to school that day. Yeah.
Yep.
So
we also had Donna turns out to be just as competitive as Meller.
No problem. No surprise there.
No. So they're supposed to be doing the alumni flag football game.
Yep.
And he picked the teams and gave her
the scrubs.
Adam Goldberg.
Adam Goldberg.
The one picture recently.
Who knows shows.
She's like, what's wrong with his eye? Oh, he can see the whole field at once. Don't let that fool you. Because like his one eye is like that way. And she's like, yeah, he was a no-show. So I got this, guy. And it was Rube Goldberg.
It was Bill Goldberg who played Nick Mellor's brother. He played Rick Mellor's brother, Nick Mellor, which was awesome.
It was awesome. Because they couldn't look any less alike.
Oh, no, they couldn't.
But holy crap, just having him storm out there on the field and be like, I'm an alumni, I went here, I can play.
Oh, it was good. And then, what's his name? I always want to say Don't You. Tim Meadows, the principal, wants to be like, you guys are not allowed to be competitive on school grounds again. And they're both just like, bullshit.
Yeah, how are you going to stop us?
I can't coach all these athletic teams if I can't be competitive. And she's just like, yeah, I can't even win math Olympics if I can't be competitive. So that's never going to happen.
Right. They even get to the point, though, where they're like, oh, let's all have our Friendsgiving together and, you know, we'll make some dishes. And Meller is supposed to make everything, and then Donna's going to make the sides. And she's like, oh, wait till you see my cranberry sauce, and it's the best. And he's like, no, my cranberry sauce is the best. So then it goes nuts, and they end up only making cranberry sauce. Like, there's no turkey, there's no potatoes, there's no nothing. And CB kind of...
And Mella's cranberry sauce is basically Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like liquid.
And hers is just like a solid mass.
Yeah.
So if you were to stir them together, it'd probably be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was talking about his cranberry sauce like it's supposed to be it's supposed to be drizzled on everything. It seemed
like it was gravy.
Describing it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't know.
So CB kind of like flips out on all of them, not screaming or anything, but he's just like the whole disappointed dad thing. And he's just like, I fucking hate this. You guys suck. You don't care about me. You don't care about any of this stuff. So why did I even bother? And then, you know, we have the touching moment at the end where the entire school came together and donated stuff to get him back on his feet, you know, clothing and living supplies, basically.
Which I'm sure legit happened and really nice.
Yep, absolutely.
But yeah, I always like at the end of the episode where they talk to the real whoever.
Mm-hmm.
The Newton thing. That's why I'm like, have you watched it yet? And you're like, not yet. And then finally, like, I watch it. He's got a fucking Newton. And the battery's low.
And the battery's low.
I had a teacher, Mr. I can think of a schedule. And I know that's not it. Anyways, he had a Newton, like, when they first came out. And I just remember looking at him like, that's awesome. You know, and. Yeah, it was, I guess.
It was.
In hindsight, not really.
Right.
Compared to what we can do, you know, today.
Perfect Harmony?
Oh, we haven't watched it. Was it a good episode?
Yeah, it's the Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm excited.
So, of course, it's good.
I think I watched New Amsterdam. This is when he finally... Is this the episode he finally says goodbye?
Yes, and this is the one with the... women's prison, you know, Rikers. And,
yes. Yeah. That was a good ending.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Did you recognize? So there was the one who she ended up getting stabbed, but she like kind of took charge. You remember when everyone was. Did you recognize her?
Yes. But it was. Just help me out.
Janice from Mr. Robot.
Yes. Janice.
The taxidermist.
Yes.
Who? I was like. Oh, it's her.
Yeah.
Good. She finally went to jail. I was like, maybe we get a tie-in going on here.
But what was interesting was, so Max goes to the prison because a woman shows up who'd use a tampon for like 7 days in a row or something, which that seems like a really long period, by the way, but multiple days in a row and got toxic shock syndrome and had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes in and do the Max thing. I'm going to take over and do what I need to do. And of course, they find out that the medic area is no privacy and a small room and you can't fit anyone in there.
Yep.
So he does.
They got to have line of sight at all times.
So he does the Max thing and he takes over the cafeteria to do this.
Yep.
And at first the ward's going to shut it down because the inmate to guard ratio isn't big enough and this and that. And
so then
just Janice helps out. She's like, oh, I'm going to take charge and we're going to do this and X, Y, Z. And
we're going to get the guards over here from A block. Everybody line up in A block because A block has a ton of guards. Then your guard to prisoner ratio isn't off.
Yeah. And basically what it is if you have back pain or something non-emergent because they're just looking for a fix anyways.
Right.
So she's basically helping out.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything's going well. And then near the end, there's a kerfuffle and some people get stabbed and hurt and injured and they all get taken away to the hospital, of course, the real hospital for it.
To actual New Amsterdam.
Yeah, and then there was a woman that had an overdose on heroin or something.
Yep.
She's at the hospital, and you hear her say, like, no, I didn't overdose. I don't use drugs. They tried to murder me because I'm a snitch, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You need to help me. You need to get me out of here because they're going to come kill me. And the nurse is like, whatever, settle down. But, of course, that's basically what you're seeing is... Yeah, that was a whole setup to get them to the hospital so they could go kill this girl.
Yep. And, you know, one of them has a razor blade and one of them grabbed the keys and, you know, they're basically
they're looking at the guard's gun. And so essentially, do you think we're going to get a long, drawn-out hostage scenario type thing?
Nope.
Do you think it's going to get finished?
I think it's going to be quick.
I think so, too.
And then the rest of the episode is going to focus on reforms at the prison and
because
you know, working with the hospital.
Well, even with that stabbing and all that stuff, the warden was like, he liked it. He thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to set up again where they can come in again. And he's going to even make sure he gets more guards on to help out to keep things going. Because to the warden, which this is, I think, the reality of it. The warden's like, yeah, someone got stabbed. This is prison. It happens. But there was some great results otherwise.
Yes.
Instead of just like the typical, I'm shutting this down. You know, he's like, oh, we're going to keep doing this.
Right.
And then, of course, Martha Jones, you know, she lost her.
She lost everything.
She got in trouble for that, getting arrested, bringing a patient to a fucking smack house. And she lost her co-director, co-chair of the oncology. And,
which we knew was coming anyway, because that girl wanted her out and wants to.
But she also lost her other second title, which was like deputy director.
Mm, yes.
But they never said if she lost her job or not.
No, she didn't lose her job.
But that's the thing, is like she's no longer the co-chair of the oncology. She's no longer the deputy director of the hospital, but she still works there?
I guess.
I don't know. They didn't really
say.
I
don't think Max would have let her go.
Max didn't seem to know about what was going on.
No, he did not. So.
The Good Place. The Good Doctor. I enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, this was interesting.
You had the kid who was... Well, I already had one fake eye and cancer. He was going to lose his other eye.
I thought that was last week's episode.
Was it that?
Yeah.
I still like that episode. I'm going back to it.
It was very good.
I enjoyed the hell out of that. And I liked the blonde doctor. And that's what I'm going with now. And Dr. Brown, which just dawns on me that she's black and she's called Dr. Brown. Not saying it out loud.
Didn't need to say that part out loud.
I'm just saying. Anyway, so blonde doctor and Dr. Brown. It's like I'm laughing at the fact it sounds like I'm using adjectives because I can't remember their names.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
It sounds horribly racist.
That's not. So anyways, they take him out. They go find him at the baseball game and they take him around, of course. And and then I like at the end when she flashes him.
Yep. So it was a very Elliot move.
Yes, the blonde doctor.
Yep. This week's episode.
In fact, Elliot even flashes some kid. One episode.
That's why I said, just like Elliot.
This was the... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
See, that's why I liked last week's way better.
Most of this episode was dealing with Sean trying to get intimate with Astrid, who she'll always be Astrid.
She'll always be Astrid, yep.
She's Astrid.
Yep.
Basically them trying to do the sex thing because, you know, they're making out more and kissing more and touching.
Which they can do on the couch and stuff, but then when it comes to laying in bed together, he has a freak out.
Yep. Okay.
That seems reasonable.
Well, here's the thing. As someone who is not in a committed relationship, there is a huge world of difference between making out with someone on the couch, and then the expectation of going into the bedroom. There are a lot more variables. There are a lot more things. There's a lot more of you exposed. If you're making out with someone on the couch, you're fully clothed for the most part.
Fair enough.
You're kissing. So your only technique that you're being graded on is where your hands are and what you're doing with your mouth.
No, I'll say fair enough. Apologies.
So,
all right. Yeah, so okay.
I can get where...
It didn't take much to change my mind, but you've convinced me.
Excellent.
Okay.
Didn't want me to go into more detail about penis size and such?
No.
Okay. Because I can do it.
The struggle is real. I get it.
But, you know, to her credit, basically what Claire said, or, you know, Astrid, said, you know, she did everything right. She got the light bulb that he wanted.
The sheets, the pillowcases, the pillow.
Yeah, a white noise machine. Like, she set it up to his specifications to mimic what he needs to sleep in so that he could be in there. And you're right. He did freak out. And it's mostly just because he was completely overblown. He didn't know what to do with himself. He didn't understand. Yeah. But he wants to try harder because...
Well, no, initially, he's like, well, this isn't working. Sorry.
But he's done that at every stage of their relationship.
Oh, yes. But he does. You're right. He comes around.
And I'll tell you what. And I think you'll agree with me here.
Yeah.
Her character is written that way. I don't think there is a human being on the planet who would have said, yeah, let's give it another try. You've completely shot me down like 5 times so far, and I keep having to deal with these little breakdowns. I'm sure that there's something worth it in the end.
Yeah, her level of understanding is just, it's over the top.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It would only exist in a character who was written for a TV show.
It's excessive.
There's no... I'm challenging anyone out there who can tell me that there is literally someone.
There isn't. There is not. No. Period. Exclamation point. No. There's a doctor on there who made all kinds of advancements in the field of leukemia, and she's dying, and her ex-husband shows up to comfort her, and somebody learns a lesson there. Probably Sean.
Yeah. Blonde Doctor.
Blonde Doctor's got rheumatoid arthritis in her hands, and her surgeon days maybe not long.
Yeah, very not long. To the point where Glassman at the end, like, goes to shake her hand and then, like, is squeezing a little bit. And she's like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. They both turn away, and she's like, yeah.
Oh, and then...
Oh, no. This is going to be good.
Well, it's just Lim and Melendez. And
Oh,
it's not going to work. Yes, it's going to work. No, it's not going to work. You're right. It's not going to work if we're together. And you're right. I don't.
This is reminding me of that old, you must pay the rent. I can't pay the rent.
Yeah, I just, I don't. It's just, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't. I agree. There's no heartstrings there where I feel so bad for either one of them.
Right. Nope, I agree. So, like, if they stay together, whatever. If they break up, whatever. Neither way affects me at all.
Stumptown good this week?
Stumptown was great.
I just realized I didn't watch that.
Oh, it was great. You got to watch it. I'm not even going to say.
I do plan on watching it. I just like
it. No, I'm going to say. It's just great. It's awesome.
Is it?
Well, what's her name there? Oh, God. She was on Happy Endings. She was... what's his name's wife? Eliza Coop.
Eliza Coop.
Yes, she's in there.
She's Joe from Scrubs.
Yes. And she plays a cutthroat bitch.
So, oh, so she's good in that role.
Yep. And it's just, I really enjoy this show for what it is. It keeps the story going episode to episode. You know, not a lot of time passes. We've still got Grey's new, you know, booty call slash whatever. We're still dealing with her.
The tourist.
Yep.
The ghost walk.
Yep.
Ghost or whatever.
And we get to see what Dex's morals are and where she takes stands. So,
okay.
Works out really well. Did you watch Blacklist?
I did. I watched it right before you came over.
Dude, that was like, that was the face and the enunciation that you use when you say you didn't. I didn't. Like, there should have been an "int," a contraction at the end of that. What'd you think of that?
Okay. So,
yeah. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think this is the last season.
It's gotta be. So they got the new, they got, what's her name? Park? The new member of the task force.
Yeah.
Who's trying to, like, be a moral compass and question, like, why do we do this? Like, how can we just work for this guy? Like, how are you guys all okay with this?
I know.
And it's just, it's making the rest of the team look even stupider for going along with it. It really is. Because you can only justify for so long, like, well, you're right, he did use us, and da-da-da-da. However, in the end, this good came out of it, so we'll just, you know. An eye for an eye doesn't leave the world blind in this case.
Yeah. Except that, you know, this time he fucks over the whole team, and she's like, guys, literally, and they're like, Reddington!
Yeah.
Like, waggling their little fingers at him.
Hey, we spoke our displeasure.
That's literally what he said.
And he gave us a tip. We're gonna go work it now. I mean, I get it. What he does do is the greater good is what they're looking at. Like, we wouldn't have... All the people they got off the streets, if you will, that they wouldn't have without him.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Oh, shit.
Katerina Rostova's got the guy kidnapped in this one, and she's waiting for her own torturer person, whoever it is, to show up.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, the Agnes draws the dead body.
Which... You knew that was coming.
And Liz goes and talks to her, and Rostova's just like, well, you're an FBI agent, and Agnes is clearly demonstrating her fear of your work, and Liz is essentially like, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
And then goes to, ends up in the bathroom where the murder happened, and sees the broken window with the blood and the hair trapped in it.
Like they wouldn't have cleaned that up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on. As if she wouldn't have had a cleaning team go in there and clean that up.
Well, and no park janitorial staff have cleaned that up or replaced the mirror.
There's no crime scene.
Right.
Oh, this show.
Yep. Good thing she got mud on her boots. Yeah, there was just a lot about this episode.
Yeah.
The rookie. Okay, so I loved this episode, but I must say that whole opening the big long commercial for a Toyota Tundra pickup trucks.
Uh-huh.
That was excruciating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they really bought into the... And I wonder if it's because they're not doing that well in the ratings?
I don't know.
What is it?
I mean, they showed the truck all over. They showed, like, him getting in it, the panel, the towing package. The heavy load.
Oh, well, he's having a conversation on his Bluetooth.
Yeah.
You know, because... Got to show that off, too.
Right. It's just... It was...
Yeah.
So essentially, Nolan gets tapped for an assignment where he has to go basically guard a crime scene until they clear it.
Yep. And homicide clears it.
And while he's waiting, the crime scene cleaner shows up because he's there to clean it, but he's not going to leave. He's just going to hang out and wait with Nolan, which Nolan's cool with. It's Alan Tudyk
as Elroy.
I loved it so much, seeing those two guys together.
Yes, I did too.
I popped big time. I didn't know he was going to be on the show. I popped big time.
Oh, it was freaking great.
I mean, I knew he was going to be in an upcoming episode, but I didn't know which one.
And I didn't realize he was going to have that big of a role.
Oh, huge role. Yeah, and he's kind of like, he's a crime scene guy who knows about blood splatter, and he's like, he's describing it all. Oh, look, this, like the blood splatter, the drops, the fingerprints. He knows
what that means that they nailed him to the desk.
Yeah. The team that came and processed it. He knew which team came based on their style of, it was great.
I kept waiting for it to turn out that he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like that he was there to clean his own crime scene.
Me too. Yeah.
But no, he's just a nerd. And he's got a crush on Sarah Rue's character in the dispatch.
Yeah.
And he's never met her. And then at the end, Nolan introduces them.
Yep.
It's freaking great. I want to see him come back.
Me too. I enjoyed the episode. Nolan stuck there for like over a day.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, a long time. And the guard that they think did the murder, they actually find him dead in another part of the building when Nolan sees some blood splatter out of place.
Which, again, yeah, really?
I know. Yeah, they think they would have seen it.
Yeah.
And so they call it in. He calls it in, and then the guys show back up. And what's funny is throughout the whole episode, he's talking, oh, if you can use this, like, he'll mention something about, like, vodka gets grass stains out of white pants. Like, he knows all about how to get stains out and everything.
Yeah.
So, of course. So, Nolan gets in a shootout with the people and shoots one guy and knocks the other guy out and this and that and everything. And
he gives Elroy a pipe and he like throws it and completely misses, but it was a distraction.
And he asks Elroy, are you okay? He goes, good thing I know how to get stains out of pants. It was awesome. Alan Tudyk was awesome in this.
Now, Tim's story was him and Chen were driving down the street, and he's supposed to be getting his commendation. Him and West are both supposed to be getting their commendation for the last episode. West goes on this – it was funny, but I really couldn't care less. You know, he gets into this car where the guy obviously stole the car.
Right.
And he's searching it real quick, and he finds a package of white powder up under there, and he's trying to pull it out. And she's like, just leave it for the next crew. And he rips it open, and it puffs him in the face. So now he's wired the whole time.
Yeah.
And she basically, she's like, we're going to try to cover this up, but you cannot appear at the award ceremony if you're high. And turns out that, you know, it was, what was it, like caffeine and
it was like
horse tranquilizer or something. It was.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't PCP or drugs that he thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he was wired because of the caffeine in it. And so they're doing their whole thing, and it was kind of a, you know, ha-ha funny thing where every time he'd go someplace, he'd wander off and she'd have to corral him and keep him from talking to people because she didn't want people to know that he was high because it would look really bad on her and him and blah, blah, blah. But Tim is driving down the road doing patrol with Chen, and she's like, look, that guy on the skateboard's going to grab that woman's purse. No, he just skated right on by. He's like, oh, sorry, Rook, and he turns back, or she goes, oh, Tim. And he slams into a car that stopped. And now you and I both know that this is correct. It is a big thing when there is an officer involved in an accident.
Oh, it's tremendous.
You have to
get
another police department involved. Like if it's a county sheriff.
In Maine, you can't cover your own crash.
Right.
I don't know how it works in LA.
Right.
But in Maine, yes. Like if
they did have other officers that came in to cover it.
Right. But yeah, you can't cover your own crash. Another agent in Maine, another agent has to do it. For instance, state police or sheriff's office or another municipality. It can't be another municipality because they, unless it happened in their town. Like if Kennebec County Sheriff's Office gets a crash in Augusta, Augusta police is going to handle it most likely.
Yep.
So, yeah.
But it's basically to keep the bias out of it and so that you can cover all your bases. And you could say it wasn't my buddies on the force who were trying to cover up for me. Tim is, you know, benched. And they're basically like, you're lucky you're not. Because he says, I could be taken off TO duty. I could be demoted. There's any number of things. Because it's a big thing. You know, you might think, oh, well, it's just a car crash. But, you know, a vehicle is a lethal weapon.
Yep.
And you're supposed to be driving it safely, especially as an officer. So something like that, I mean, it could have just as easily he could have hit a person on their feet, you know, and killed them.
Right. And this is where I question it, because the LAPD has the vehicle towed back to their impound.
Yeah.
And Chen's like, have you had a chance to look it over yet? And they're like, no. And she's like, well,
why would they have? I mean, they have to fill out an accident report, but in accidents, even if your car is totaled, it gets towed to your mechanic.
Right.
It's never – and maybe it's because it's an officer-involved one. They wanted to look it over.
Maybe it's
because
it's L.A.
Yeah. I agree. I felt so that was a bit of a stretch.
I questioned it, yeah.
But, yeah, they look it over and basically find out that – she goes, wait, there were no brake lights. And they look, and the brake lights have been disconnected.
And there was other stuff in the vehicle that led to believe, like, maybe they had been starting fires.
It was red phosphorus powder.
Thank you.
Yep. So the woman who was in the accident, you know, her boyfriend shows up at the hospital and he's like, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to take all you for all the money. And she's like, no, we don't have to do that. We can just. And it turns out that, yeah, they're scam artists and they've been doing this a lot. And she didn't expect to get hit by a cop. And she's like, I don't want to fuck around with this. So
but at the same time, she didn't know that. I think, did she say she didn't know the taillights were disconnected? Oh, no, what it was is she was in the process of leaving him, did know they were disconnected.
Yeah. And again, can we even believe her? But she basically said that, you know, they've been doing scams for years, but now he's gotten too risky and he's doing bigger things. And she didn't like it, so she wants to get out. Kind of a funny thing, too. The guy who played her boyfriend, he had a long-running role in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
He was Warren. He was the guy who was one of the self-claimed nemeses of Buffy, and she was just like, I don't know who you are. It was a really funny gag until he showed up at her place one day waving a gun around, and it accidentally went off and killed someone else. And he got flayed alive. Like, he had all of his skin ripped off.
Now, he's a really bad killer.
Yes.
Because the...
Yeah.
He basically, she's like, look, he took a new job. He's going to kill someone, blah, blah, blah. And, like, he's just going to walk up in broad daylight and shoot someone, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, because Chen disguises herself as the woman. And, like, broad daylight, middle of a crowded street, in the suburbs, no less.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's just, like, walking up behind her with the gun drawn. Like, he's in a video game.
It's bad.
Yeah. That reminded me of his character in Buffy as well. You know, just really bad at what he does.
But ultimately, Bradford and Wes get to get their awards.
Yes.
Yep.
Because Bradford is cleared because that was fraud and Wes was just on caffeine.
The power of suggestion.
Still a great episode, though.
Oh, it was a good episode. What else you got?
I'll tell you, I've watched a couple more episodes of Dollface.
Oh, I do want to check that out, yeah.
You really do. Yeah. It's great. Their short episodes are like, you know, half hour each.
That's what I love.
And it's just, again, it's that surreal kind of comedy. Like, I think it was in the second episode, she decides she's going to get healthier. So she puts on a little step coach and she's going to do, because she lives in like San Francisco. She's going to do the stairs going up. And, you know, she's like, oh, I'm going to do 100 steps. And the thing's like, you really want to do only 100 steps? She's like, all right, 150. They're like, yeah, are you even trying to lose weight? She's like, fine, 300 steps. Yeah, that's more like it. Like, the thing is talking to her like this. And then, like, she takes the first step and it goes, stopping exercise. She's like, what? It's like, start exercise. So she takes another step and it's like, your pace is too slow. You've obviously stopped. And she's like, what's good? She's like having a fight with her exercise program. And then eventually it's just like, turn around, go home, pretend that the tears are sweat and nobody will notice. But it's really good. it's a good, even though it's like focused on women, it's a good treatise on friendship.
Yeah.
And people who, you know, let those friendships lapse when they go into relationships or get another
job.
Which
you see
that
happening in real life.
Oh, yeah.
And on TV shows.
Yeah.
But a lot of times in real life.
And, you know, it's really good. I'm really enjoying the show so far. I think I'm like two or three episodes in. But it's one of those where they dump them all at once. So I'm trying to space it out a bit.
Well, that's funny because that's what I had read something about, like, you know, it looks like Disney's beaten the Netflix theory of just, you know, dumping every episode at once where people can purge because, and people are, you know, I'm loving The Mandalorian. I look forward to Friday when the new episode comes out.
Me too.
And we had kind of talked about how, we have talked about how we try to space out shows now, not binge them all at once because it does go fast.
Yeah.
And then, oh, I don't have it anymore. And now, at least with The Mandalorian, we can just enjoy one episode and talk about it.
Yes.
Because if they were all up there and you hadn't watched them all, but I had watched them all, we can't talk about them as much. Or we get to what happens like earlier this summer, and I don't remember what show we were talking about, but like we had a whole season to talk about it. And by the time we were done, we were just like, all right, that was terrible.
Oh, yeah, because we were exhausted, and then we still had, like, two or three other shows to talk about.
Yeah. So I'm digging this. And then, like, again, you can enjoy it with your friends more because, you know, your friends are also watching it at the same pace.
Exactly.
Because all my friends, none of them are, like, waiting till Monday or Tuesday to watch it. They're watching it over the weekend.
Yep.
Period.
Exactly.
You know, or if not Friday night. Like, I hadn't watched, The Rookie. Rookie's on Sunday. Friday, I hadn't even watched it yet. So Kanan came downstairs with me to watch The Mandalorian, and then afterwards I put The Rookie on because he likes that show. So I watched them back-to-back, but, you know, I'm not waiting around The Mandalorian. Oh, of course it was. I'm not waiting around on that. But we'll of course, talk about that later.
Yes.
The wife and I are watching Oak Island.
Yep.
It's a great season again this year. They're really looking at the swamp. We just like the show.
Anything?
They have found some more stuff. Okay, look, here's the thing. They have not found
the
treasure.
Again, you don't have to get defensive. I'm just asking.
I'm not trying to get defensive. They've not found the treasure, but they have found more stuff and more things. And it's just one of those things where it's just like something happened on this island.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any treasure buried down there or not anymore. I have no clue. Maybe there isn't. Maybe someone already found it. But there's stuff they're finding and what they're locating and just everything. Something happened on this island.
Yeah.
You know, like in the swamp, for instance, you look at the swamp, it's triangle shaped. And at the top of the triangle, there's a circle where there's no vegetation growing. Okay. And they actually showed images of it from like the oldest pictures they had of it, like back in the early 1900s, even late 1800s. And then all the way up through to today. And everything around on the island has become overgrown or it's grown up or it's been cut down, this, that, or whatever. And the vegetation on the swamp has gotten bigger, but that eye is what they're calling it now. The eye at the top has never gotten smaller or bigger. Nothing is growing there.
Huh.
And someone's like, and they've determined the swamp is man-made too. It's not that old. I mean, comparative to like the island and this and that, you know, the swamp's like 300, 400 years old, which is not very old considering. So they've been done. They did some exploring, and they've discovered that there is a man-made structure in the swamp that's preventing the vegetation from growing there.
Was it a castle?
I don't know yet. They haven't.
Did it fall over into the swamp?
I don't know. They haven't dug it up yet. Why?
Because I'm going full Monty Python on the Holy Grail.
I know. But anyways, but it's definitely stone, and there's some iron mixed in. Because he can detect it with his metal detector. So it's just kind of like, it's like, okay, that's fascinating. Like, that's why that has it. Like, and no one had really just not noticed it before because it wasn't on anybody's radar. So the stuff they're finding, and it's just, there's so much stuff they've found, especially since they dug up Smith's Cove. Something happened on this island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a couple of years ago, the wife and I, we went and toured it.
Mm-hmm.
We met Rick Lagina. We met Gary Drayton, and it was really cool. Rick, it's one of the most like genuine, nice guys I think I've ever met because like he was asking everybody individually. So what do you think? And he genuinely wants to know what other people think about what's going on in the island. I don't know. It's really cool. It's a good season.
Thanks.
last season was a great season. This season was a good season. You go back, you watch like the first season again. You're like, how the hell did anyone keep watching this show? But it's, you look at the progression, like they had to check boxes and do this. And to get to where they are now, they had to start where they were. Then the show gets popular. Now they're making a bunch of money on the show. So now they can spend a shit ton of money, you know, doing their digs. And, you know, it's just, it's really fascinating. What else you watch?
Watchmen. I'm still enjoying that. We're starting to get some answers and some weird things that are happening.
Yep.
I'm not sure what's going on with Jeremy Irons' character. He's been doing some really weird stuff, and it's hard to describe, but basically, like, you always assume that Veet, you know, Ozymandias, is just a rich guy who loves to do weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's looking more like he's a prisoner in a very weird place. Mm. Like, he keeps his two servants. He's got a manservant and a womanservant, and he keeps killing them, and then breeding new ones from clones. And he does this over and over again. And then he launches the bodies out of a catapult. And they fly off into the air and then just kind of poof out of existence. And then this week he launched himself with like almost like an old timey diver's suit,
okay,
complete with a hose coming out. And he hit like an invisible wall and went through it. And suddenly he was on what looked like the moon.
Oh.
And there are all these dead bodies around that are frozen of his dead servants. And so he starts like picking them up and moving them and picking them up and moving them and then breaking off arms and legs and throwing them and stuff. And then it pans back and you see that he's put them all into a big, it says save me. Like he spelled out save me in giant letters. And then all of a sudden his cord gets yanked and he gets pulled back through the invisible thing back to his meadow that he's been in.
Yeah.
And all of his servants are there and they're checking on him. And there's some guy wearing like a Robin Hood mask on a horse with a cutlass who says, you knew the risks. You were told you weren't allowed to do anything. You're messing with forces you don't understand. And so it's like he's a prisoner on the moon, but in like a weird alternate reality.
He's using the bodies of his clone servants to...
Yeah. So I don't know if like Manhattan put in there or what, but we also
kind of creative.
Yep, we also got Looking Glass's origin story, and it was cool because they actually they talk about what happened with the giant squid.
Yep,
like we get to see the night that it hit and what it did to people around the world. So I'm enjoying it. I wish we could get a few more answers, but I'm dealing with it.
What else?
This Is Us.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we haven't talked about that.
Yeah. This was the Thanksgiving episode.
Yep.
A lot to unpack.
I feel like we talked about this episode, but I think what it is there's some bleed over from...
Last week's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we talked about, which is ringing through this week, which is...
The whole Randall and Rebecca thing, mostly.
Yeah.
Because this is the one where...
I'm sorry. They played us good, though.
Oh, yes.
When Rebecca goes out to, like, to go to the
clear
movies.
Clear her head, basically.
Clear her head, and she goes, going to go to the movies, maybe.
Yep.
And then instead they show, like, this whole adventure of her going out. And, she's going to get a pie or cake or something.
Where's a bakery around here? Oh, there's a grocery store over there.
And I'm like, and they go, she goes to a Chinese restaurant and eats. I'm like, Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. All this shit's open? And
yeah.
She's eating, like, and then, you know, just all these things. And then...
she leaves her phone at the grocery store when she buys stuff. And then when she goes to the Chinese restaurant, she can't find her phone. And she starts having a panic attack. Yeah. I need to call my son! And she's freaking out. And then police take her home.
Yeah.
They ask her where she is. And they're like, boy, you're an awful far away from L.A.
Yeah. Well, we always come to town for special circumstances.
Yep.
And, they take her. At first, I think they're gonna take her to Jersey, to the old house there,
right?
Because Randall had driven there with Nikki and the daughter there to pick up a box of something. But they don't.
I was gonna say porn, but that was a Family Guy episode. No. It was holiday stuff,
yeah.
Including like Jack's pilgrim hat. Which, come on, would he have really sold the house without taking that out of the attic?
Yeah, no. And then I thought, they're going to take him to Jack and Rebecca's old house that caught on fire.
Yes.
But they don't. And instead they take her to, like, the camp?
It's like a cabin in the woods type of
thing. Yeah, it turns out it's Kevin's place. Mm-hmm. So, but I will get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But instead
so
of.
So we thought that it was happening currently, but it was
wasn't. Happening like 9 months in the future.
Well, a little more than 9 months.
Oh, no, it was August 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was the 40th birthday for.
Yeah, it was their 40th birthday.
So it's basically the season premiere of the next season.
Yeah, basically. So essentially, when we see Rebecca shows up because she went to this movie and it was 3 hours long. It was crazy.
Yep.
But then she admits to Randall that, you know, halfway through the Cats trailer, she forgot what movie she was there to see.
Now, in fairness, both you and I have experienced this before, and we are mentally stable, healthy people. And I mean, we can laugh, but I've legitimately had times when I've gotten so embroiled in the 17 trailers that I go, what the fuck did I come here to see?
We've turned and looked at it and goes, what movie are we here to see again? And you're like, shit. I guess we'll find out.
So I
know. It's like, oh, it's that Jim Carrey movie, 41. Okay, exactly. Yeah. You know, well, that was a mistake.
Yes. Yeah. But, like, so I get what they were trying to say, but at the same time, I felt it was a weak argument for a diminished mental capacity.
It reminds me, like, Jay and I are sitting there watching this Hulk Hogan DVD collection one time. This is at the apartment in Augusta, so that's how long ago this was. Sorry, at least 12 years or better. And we've both had a couple beers, but we're not drunk. We've just had a couple. And we're watching the thing. And all of a sudden, all these yellow spots go up on the screen. And it's just because it's the quality of the tape. It's nothing to do with my DVD, my TV, or anything like that.
Yep.
And I just went, what's with the yellow spots? And Jay goes, oh, thank God. He's like, I was so afraid I was the only one that saw that.
That's great. So we did have a little, I guess it's not little, but one of the minor stories in this was Tess, you know, there was an Instagram thing. Who's your celebrity crush right now? And she's freaking out because she still hasn't come out at her school.
Yeah.
And so Kevin's like, hey, let's go get a bite to eat. And they're like, it's Thanksgiving. And he's like, no, we're just going
to. Free Thanksgiving snack.
Yeah.
And they go to fast food.
And he gives her actually some really good advice. He's like, okay, you don't want to come out to everybody all at once. How about to a complete stranger? You know, do it to the guy who's doing it the drive-thru. And she does. She's like, my name is Tess Pearson and I'm gay. And he's like,
great. Cool. So you want some ketchup with those fries? No,
he's like, do you want regular fries or curly fries?
Great. So we get a flashback from Nikki telling a story. Because what happens is you have... They get it to a story. So we have a flashback where Nikki and Kevin, or Nikki and Jack, when they're – it was like a week before the war because it's Thanksgiving. So it's like a week or two before the draft. And essentially, mom and dad are fighting. It's Thanksgiving, and Jack's like, you want to get out of here? So they kind of get out of there. They go watch the game. Nikki wins a shit ton of money. They go out to dinner because Nikki's just feeling out of place. Like, his – like. My own grandniece doesn't know me, doesn't know who I am, that, you know, that I exist because my dad basically erased me from life and this and that.
No,
and everything.
He says, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it when he goes,
hold on.
When he goes, hey, can I go? When Randall is and Tess are going to drive, Randall and the other daughter are going to drive to New Jersey. Mm-hmm. He's like, can I go with you? He goes, that way I can get to know. Like Raymond better. And he goes, Randall, see, we're already starting out well. But the long and the short of it is that they keep showing the intercutting clips of them going to the house to get the stuff with Nikki and Randall and Nikki and Jack flashback. And essentially they win a bunch of money. They go to a restaurant. They order 5 pounds of shrimp. They eat the shrimp. You know, they go sit and they listen.
The guy even says to him, he goes, you are aware this is 5 pounds of shrimp. And they're like, I'm up for the challenge.
And then they go sit and they're listening to music and the song comes on and Jack's going to go change the station. But Nikki's just like, no, this isn't a song. This is a poem. And he gives this beautiful, basically, explanation of the song to him. Well, while they were at the house, the guy's like, oh, are these yours? It's a collection of CDs and a zip-up CD case, you know, and so Randall's playing the CD, and that song comes on, and
because he hands it to Nikki and says, hey, why don't you play some music? And Nikki's like, he picks that CD, and Randall's like, oh, that's an interesting choice. And
fair enough. So the song comes on, and And Randall starts explaining how their dad loved the song, how it basically everything that Nikki said to Jack about the song, Randall then repeats to Nikki. And then even the thing that Nikki said at the end of the song back in the day, now Jack's telling, you know, his kids. And so Nikki's realizing that Jack still had him in his life.
Yep.
And was still a part of things and this and that. And so Nikki brings out the tradition in tribute to his brother, because I like how he goes like, because in this house, tradition started by Jack really seemed to go over well.
Because they got all the hot dogs and
So and they got to get the Police Academy tape. I'm going to hook up the VCR for the Police Academy VHS because you can't just get a digital copy. And he goes, so there's 5 pounds of shrimp. It immediately cuts to a little Jack, baby Jack in the future as an adult who sits and goes, here's some shrimp. There's 5 pounds. Help yourself. So that's a new tradition.
Exactly. Know? Which was great to see.
Yeah. And then we get the Kate blow up because – all right, so Kate and Beth go outside because Kate says, I hate CrossFit. What's the husband's name?
Toby.
I hate CrossFit Toby because, you know, all he talks about is being in the box and this and that and everything. And basically what it is we were supposed to lose weight together, but now he's losing weight without me. And
to be fair, he has turned into a CrossFit person.
Yes.
You know, when he's sitting there talking to Miguel and he's like, oh, man, we're going to talk to my trainer and we're going to get you on a regimen. We're going to wrap you up and we're going to get you like 3 days a week to start, get you in there, start boxing up. And
he's on a special diet and he's full bore into it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's annoying, but how can you fault him from trying to be healthy?
Right. That's the thing is he's actually healthy and he's doing it for his son.
And that's what Kate's basically saying is like, I hate CrossFit Toby, but how can I be mad at him? Mm-hmm. And then Beth admits, like, I hate that Deja's mother's doing so well.
Yes. Because she is. She seems to have her shit together.
She's doing well.
She's adjusted. She's got a job.
She apparently likes football now. She's got friends. She's living life.
But that's the thing is, you know, Beth was all upset about it, but it turns out to be her undoing because
Deja's jealous that her mother couldn't get her shit together when she was around, but now that she's not around, her mother has. So instead of being happy for her mother, she's upset. And I get that because, okay, so when I was a kid, because at the end of the day, Deja's 14 or 15, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You're still a kid. And I get that. When I was a kid, when my dad met Linda and she had two kids that he adopted, Adam and John, who we get along smashingly. I'm not complaining about that by any means. But when I was a kid, I was jealous because my dad never seemed to give two shits about what was going on in my life or my school life or going to my sports or activities events. But he made sure he went to all John and Adam stuff and this and that. And of course, now I realize it was more so that's what his wife wanted him to do. So that's what he did. Not that he didn't care because he did. But what I'm just saying, though, so like I experienced kind of what Deja's going to. It's like, you know, you can be sober and get your shit together for them, but you couldn't for me.
Exactly.
So I actually experienced that, so I can kind of relate to that to some extent.
Yeah.
So when Deja gets mad and goes upstairs, Beth goes up to comfort her, make sure she's okay, and Deja, you know, hugs her and, you know,
So for her, it works out well because she's like, whoa, I didn't say anything disparaging and the kid came about it on her own. Yes.
But she kind of feels bad because Deja feels bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, being the mama bear she is, she wants to protect her kid.
Right.
But Kate does say something to Toby about how she kind of doesn't like it and this and that and everything. And then later
on. I thought, no, she was about to.
No, she did.
Okay.
She did because later on when she's like, Toby's like, oh, Kate, get my phone, take a picture quick. She picks up his phone, and there's the text message screen's wide open on the phone.
Which never happens. There's
a text message from someone on the phone who's like,
Lady Valkyrie.
Lady Valkyrie or Lady Lightning or some shit like that. And it's like, don't let her bring you down. Don't worry, we're here for you. And I'd be livid, you know. My husband was getting, or wife was getting text messages from someone else, you know, especially, and then toss in Kate's insecurities.
Right.
You know? So all that leads to Rebecca going back to being dropped off, and now it's in the future, and it's the birthday party. Oh, and Kevin makes some grand statement that he doesn't know if he's going to go back to LA. He's really enjoyed spending time, because Nikki's like, go live your life, go do your thing. You don't have to stay here with me anymore. I'm going to be good, I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin's like, I want a wife. I want kids. I want X, Y, Z. You know, I don't think I want to be in Hollywood anymore. I want to have, you know, the normal suburban life. So now fast forward to, you know, August. So it's November to August. That's what. That's about 9 months, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's their birthday. And Rebecca says, where's Randall? And he goes, Mom, you forgot. We're not talking to each other anymore. We're fighting right now. We're not talking to each other. Yep. We haven't in months. And then there's, but we always get together for important events. And he's like, yeah. And Kevin's like, hey, have you got this? My fiance, she's got morning sickness constantly, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the female officer's like, oh, try this tea. It always worked for me. Ginger tea. And he's like, thanks. And then you see Kate sign her name on the form, and she signs it Kate Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you see the date, and it's like, did she get divorced from Toby? Who knows? Because I don't know if she took his name.
Die?
No, he's not dead. We saw Toby in the future already.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, it's interesting.
It'd be... Don't know all the story.
Yeah.
Don't know all the details. It would be pretty petty if they got divorced over something like that.
Right.
Like him turning to friends for support, even if they're new friends, you know, and saying, boy, my wife's being a real bitch.
Right.
Because you know what? We all do it.
Yeah.
Literally every person does it.
Yeah.
That's how people stay in relationships.
Right.
If you couldn't vent about your significant other to friends and colleagues and such.
Right.
There'd be no more relationships.
No, there would not be.
But, yeah, so, again, we don't know the whole story. He might blow up at her. She might blow up at him. Maybe it's old habits. Maybe she never took his name. I don't know.
That's the thing, I don't know. I don't know either about the name thing, so.
Yep.
What else did you watch?
Have
you watched The Toys That Made Us yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm on vacation this week, but last week I was at work late a lot of days because I was trying to make sure that I was caught up before my vacation.
Fair enough.
So I got my basic stuff in, but now this week, like every day, I get time to.
Well, I watched episode. I've watched three of the four episodes.
Okay.
I watched the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle one.
Which you had watched last week.
No, I watched it like 2 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I just watched
last week you had watched the wrestling ones.
I watched the wrestling one and the, oh crap, not My Little Pony. They had wrestling, My Little Pony, Ninja Turtle, Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I was like, eh, who cares?
Yeah. I know someone who does.
Yeah, me too. So I have My Little Pony left to watch, which I will watch just because I need to watch it.
Well, you have that great story of you and your daughter going to see the Bronies.
We went and saw the My Little Pony, the movie, and the Bronies were there, yeah. And my daughter turning to me and saying, he likes My Little Pony a lot. Ninja Turtles 1, I don't want to spoil it. However, there was something that came up near the end of the episode, something I never heard of, and I'm like, why have I not heard of this? And it made me feel like that the show had happened in the mid-early 90s, but instead it was on late 90s, like 97, 98, or 98, 99, which makes sense because I was 20 at the time, so it wouldn't have been on my radar. Mm-hmm. But they had a live-action, like, Saturday morning Ninja Turtle show with a female turtle named Venus de Milo.
Makes sense. Kind of, except for that's a painting, not a painter.
Correct. So
there weren't really a lot of female Renaissance painters when you think about
it. But still, I don't remember there being a weekly live-action show and that there was a female turtle. I remember that they had a live touring stage show. I didn't go to it, but I remember reading about that a few years ago and be like, oh, okay, I didn't hear about that. I didn't know about that. So okay. I don't know. It was interesting, though. It was a good episode. We'll talk about it more next week.
Okay.
Are we up to the news and such now, trailers?
I think so, because we're going to save The Mandalorian and Mr. Robot for after the break.
Well, I'm going to segue right into this great news bit. Like, I don't know if we've talked about this in the past.
Did you not watch any movies?
No.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of them that are queued up, like, in
and out. Yeah, I didn't get any... I know, I got to watch that myself.
Which is available on Hulu and Amazon Prime, by the way.
Oh, nice. And Booksmart's on Hulu.
Yes.
I didn't get any red boxes this past week because I had the wrestling to watch on Saturday and Sunday.
I finished Death Stranding and jumped into Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. So.
Oh, you had some gaming going on.
Oh, yes.
So I had not heard of this until today.
Okay.
I don't know if we've talked about it in the past. Maybe we did this summer. I don't know. But the creators of the toys that make us are making a documentary series called The Movies That Made Us.
Oh, interesting.
Had we talked about this?
No.
Okay.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, the first four episodes drop Friday the 29th. So this Friday.
Okay.
And the first four episodes are on the movies of Die Hard, Ghostbusters, Home Alone, and Dirty Dancing.
All solid choices.
Yeah, yeah. I had no idea. Apparently there's a trailer out, which I haven't even seen yet. But it says, in the trailer, Netflix released the movies that made us, we see the studio executives had no faith in Dirty Dancing, and that everyone who read the script for Die Hard thought John McClane was a wuss.
Nice.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. yeah, so that's awesome. Like, I'm excited to hear about that.
I would definitely check that out.
What do you got for news and trailers?
Does the name Noah Hawley mean anything to you?
No.
It's the guy behind the Fargo TV show.
Oh, yeah, okay,
he's also
sure.
The guy behind Legion TV show.
Yeah.
And he was behind Bones,
yep.
The TV show. He's going to be making the next Star Trek film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's got some interesting chops, but they all seem to be very not Star Trek-y.
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll be interesting. Speaking of Star Trek, I just, as a little side note, our buddy Petrie, his wife Rebecca is a huge Star Trek fan. From way back. And we had talked a few months ago about Discovery, and she said that she had done like two episodes and she was like, fuck this show.
Okay.
And I said, you love Doctor Who? She said, yes, I love Doctor Who. I said, okay, you trust me because I gave you Sherlock and I gave you Doctor Who. And she's like, yes, I trust you. I said, okay, go back to Discovery and give it another chance. Push through to the second season. By the end of the first season, you're going to be loving it.
Yep.
The second season is phenomenal. Let me know. So recently we met up for dinner, the three of us, and she's like, thank you so much.
Oh, really?
For telling me to go back to Discovery. And there was a lot of quibbles, which you remember, we've had quibbles with it.
Yes.
But overall, she's like, you were right. It's fucking great. I can't wait for the third season. I can't wait to see what's coming. So that was cool.
Chris Pike.
Yeah.
Season two.
She agreed. And for her also, it was not just a matter of he's awesome as a commander, but a hot piece of ass.
I mean, Anson Mount is an attractive man.
He sure
but
is. I mean, come on. Okay, so this one made me want to roll my eyes into the back of my head.
Okay.
Now, they are going to make a sequel to The Joker. Because, you know, the director was like, no, not interested, not going to do it. Joaquin Phoenix was like, well, I'll do it. The director's like, no, I don't want to. And then it made over $1 billion, and apparently Warner Brothers was probably like, you need to do this. And he's like, I guess I could work on that.
How is it that, like, okay, I'm not going to lie. I have not heard a lot of people talking shit about that movie. Everyone is like, how wonderful that movie is.
Oh, I know. They're all lapping at the balls. But yeah. You notice that when this started, like, all of this praise and $1 billion, now we're going to make a sequel. All of a sudden, have you been seeing all the celebs who are coming out of the woodwork and saying, we want the Snyder Cut. We want the fucking Snyder Cut.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like there's a correlation there between the two of them. But yeah, people have been just absolutely lapping the balls of the Joker. I hated it. Yeah. I can't endorse this movie. I didn't think that it was good. Anyway. Just a fun little fact. Tuesday, January 21st, Project Blue Book comes back.
Nice.
Yeah. And kind of forgotten about that one.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Yep. So this was interesting. Stargirl. Is going to be one of the shows coming up on
yeah,
DC.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what?
Well, it's going to be on the DC Universe, and then it's going to come out weekly, and then the next day it's going to be on CW.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird. I don't know if they're actually going to tie it into the other CW shows.
I didn't see anything about that. They just wanted to reach a broader audience, which.
Yeah.
The people that pay for DC Universe are going to be pissed.
Yeah. So, like, you
get
it on
DC
Universe.
And if you were paying it for that show, I guess.
Right. And then the next day it'll air on the CW, and then the day after that you can get it on the CW app. So that is very interesting. But yeah.
The only plus is in the DC Universe episodes or be commercial free.
Right. And they said that they'll probably be able to be racier.
Yeah.
You know, they'll probably have to edit some of the stuff for whatever. The Black Adam movie is going to introduce the JSA.
Nice.
Justice Society of America.
Nice.
Which is interesting because that was traditionally like an old school, like World War II kind of group.
Yep.
So I'm guessing that with this origin story, it's going to be origin. Like how they did with Wonder Woman.
Right.
Daniel Craig has said that No Time to Die is his final Bond movie.
Yep. It's official.
Good. put somebody else in there. I got tired of reading all the stories about him being crabby and grumpy. Oh, I fucking hate this. I don't want to do it anymore. Good, then don't do it anymore.
Don't do it.
Nobody's twisting your arm. Oh, and here you go, Mike. You're going to want to share this with your wife. So write it down. Put it in your Newton. Nice throwback there. January 6th, 2020.
Yep.
Manifest returns.
Really? All right.
Oh, so we may have to... We may have
viewing
to
parties are going to start again.
State the viewing card. Oh my god, I saw that and I'm like, are you shitting? I actually saw a commercial for it the other day, and you know what it is?
What?
It's a Monday, so it's going to be on Mondays. If it's 8, sure. If it's 9 o'clock, we may have to, you know, because you and I both work early in the morning now, as does your wife,
right? But, yeah,
but you know, I would hate for it to interrupt our recording schedule, but.
Yeah, I would hate for that to happen as well. But
I think our recording schedule is actually way more important to me than Manifest.
It works out is what it comes down to.
Yeah. Other than that, I just got trailers. And I think I shared all of them with you.
Yeah, I didn't have any trailers.
We got a Netflix series called The Wars.
Again, I don't know how I feel about it.
I got a little synopsis on each one of these. V-Wars is an upcoming American science fiction horror web television series based on the eponymous comic series by Jonathan Mayberry. V-Wars follows the story of a scientist and his best friend as they face the evolving crisis of a deadly outbreak that fractures society into opposing factions, potentially escalating a future war between humans and vampires.
Again, I don't know how I feel about it.
I had to chuckle because one of the lead characters is Ian Somerhalder, who, you know, played on the Vampire Diaries as a vampire.
That's funny.
And now he's trying to cure vampirism. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it either. I'll probably check it out when it comes out, but we'll see. Antebellum.
Okay, let me see here. I sent that trailer to Johnny.
Okay.
And Johnny said... Whoa, what is this, racist time travel?
Yeah, that kind of...
I don't know, but I'm intrigued. He's like, it definitely looks interesting.
It's from the producers of Get Out and Us.
Yeah.
Doesn't provide much insight. Top secret plot. The only synopsis that we've been given is successful author Veronica Henley finds herself trapped in a horrifying reality and must uncover the mind-bending mystery before it's too late.
But when you look at the clips, it's like it's taking place in current times and then in Civil War slave times.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
I don't know. It looked interesting.
But then again, I got bitten with Us because I really didn't like Us.
Yeah.
I loved Get Out.
Get Out was awesome.
But I just didn't
like Us. Twilight Zone was awesome.
Yeah.
Ma was actually better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah?
Yeah. But Us was just, it was The Voice. Why would she talk
about it? Oh, I thought you were talking about the TV show, The Voice. Voice ruined it.
No, her voice in Us.
Yeah.
Why would she talk this way?
Maybe she had just watched The Dark Knight. She really liked Christian Bale's performance. And then the last one that I had sent you, wait, is this the last one?
Yeah.
Oh no, I sent you two other ones. So, Hunters.
Yes. That looks... I had heard about that previously. It's Nazi Hunters.
Yes. Created by David Well with a
pilot
directed by...
When does it take place in, though?
Hunters is set in 1970s New York and follows a group of concerned citizens who realize there are Nazis among them hidden in plain sight.
I'm excited about that.
So naturally, they get together and plot a course of bloody revenge while uncovering the nefarious plans for a Fourth Reich in the process.
Not just revenge. Bloody revenge.
Yes. For some reason, I think that this is based on true events.
Well, I mean, there was some hunters in the past.
Inspired by true events, Hunters follows a diverse band of Nazi hunters in 1977 New York City who discover that hundreds of escaped Nazis are living in America, and so they do what any badass vigilante squad would do. They set out on a bloody quest for revenge and justice.
I think it's based on the fact that there were some Nazi hunters hunting Nazis around the world. But yes. I think that's the end of it. I think it's that's the grain of salt. And then there's lots of creative license.
Dude, that's that guy looking with the porn stash and the sunglasses, that's Ted.
That's Mosby. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Now, I think there's a lot of creative license in this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When things say based on true events, it could be, you know.
It's like you're saying The Rookie was based on a guy that that decided at 40 to become a police officer. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. But, you know, he didn't get into a shootout every single week.
No.
Yeah, because there's some creative license involving there.
And then the last trailer that I sent you was season 12 of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Coming in 2020.
I'm excited.
I am too.
I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. They're family. They're awesome.
Doctor Who's great.
Yep. Stephen Fry is going to be in the opening episode.
Yay. All right. We're talking about Mr. Robot and the Mandalorian now, right?
So, yep.
Yeah. So if you don't want to listen to him about that right now, and just tune in after you've watched them.
That's right. Otherwise, we'll talk to you folks later. And everybody else, ready? In 5, 4, okay, here we go.
Mr. Robot.
I'm so glad that we weren't, like, live messaging last night, because I'll be honest, like, I was having a little, I'm adjusting to some different meds right now.
Yeah.
And so I was feeling very lightheaded. And when I do that, I'm supposed to take Benadryl, because it alleviates that. And I took two of them, and I just passed right out. Like, I was trying to watch some shows, and I just passed right out. So I wasn't, I didn't watch it till today.
I watched Survivor Series last night.
Oh, okay.
So you didn't watch Mr. Robot until I got home from work.
Excellent. So we're both same page there.
So I like how we tell one story at a time.
Yes.
So let's start with okay. Elliot and Krista get out of the apartment before Vera's henchmen can come back up.
Do you want to do the opening scene first? Because that was Elliot related. Those the two small kids playing hide and seek at the
bottom. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
We see little Elliot hiding from little Angela in a big building that was kind of it was I don't know if it was an old mall or what.
It was a museum, I thought, like museum in Queens.
And he basically runs into this room and it said like permanent storage, keep out. And he's talking to an invisible person. And this is, you know, he's what, 8, 9 years old? And he's talking to an invisible person. And he's like, no, we've got to do this. This is going to help us. And he kind of takes some package. It looks like a paper or something, like a bunch of rolled up paper. And he stuffs it into this crack under a door, like in concrete. And then walks out and continues his game with Angela. And that's the last that we see of that until later. So,
No. I forgot. I kind of forgot about that. So Elliot and Krista, all right. So, is one of Vera's men a girl?
I don't know.
The one with the tattoo on the cheek and the red jacket, I think.
Peanuts,
because I have to go pee. We just use the Arby's. I'm not sitting down on that toilet and getting hepatitis from it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, is that a girl?
See, I don't know about that either. I mean, the hair is, I don't know. I just don't know.
So anyhow, Krista and Elliot get into the cab, head to the police station. Elliot can't go in, so Krista goes in by herself.
And she was cool about it.
Yeah, well, yeah. She's like, I just really fucked you up, I realized.
Which, yeah, right before that, when the two henchmen do find the body, they're like,
just take Vera's wallet and leave.
Shit, man, grab his wallet and let's get out of here.
And then
there's some loyalty.
We do see Elliot, we do see later on the police are there because they're wheeling the body out.
Yep.
Elliot follows the younger version of himself to the Queen's Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he finds the key that he hid in childhood. And, then we see Elliot working on the hack for the Deus Project.
Which, he just goes right back to.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Peanuts is young M.A.
Oh, okay.
An actress and rap star. And yes, young M.A. is a lady. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, I guess. Okay, yeah, oh, okay, in this shirt you can see womanly curves. But, yeah.
Sweet. I just never even thought about it.
Sweet neck tattoo. Oh, I never considered or thought about it or anything until
I just saw a thug
sitting down on the toilet, and I'm like, okay.
Even then I was like, oh, so basically, you know, you got to piss and you're really going to poop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. And Mr. Robot comes back to apologize. And basically he's like, I'm not your dad, though. And Elliot's like, yeah, I know you're not. I know I created you to be who my dad wasn't.
Yeah. I wanted you to be the best version of him.
Yeah.
I like how Elliot said at first, sorry for the timeout.
Yeah, sorry for the timeout.
Because he basically sent him away.
But he let him back in now.
Yep. And it was a nice speech from Mr. Robot, you know, and he was talking about how he was trying to protect him, but it wasn't his place to do that. Because Elliot asks Krista questions, you know, he's like, what do people do who discover these kind of things about themselves? What do they do? Like, how do they become normal again? And she's like, I want to see you again. Come back. We'll sit down. We'll talk about this.
We will see.
Yeah. If that's, she really meant that or
that's
not.
That's kind of Elliot's story, though.
Yep.
You know, that's
yeah, it was very basic. Well, no. Because he goes and retrieves the package.
At the Cool Museum.
Yeah.
I already said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He follows the little version of himself to the museum and gets
the key. Which I don't think that is his other personality.
No, there's another personality that's hidden, which is, might be the real dad. I don't know.
Right.
But Elliot gets the key. And basically what it is it was a key. He's like, oh, this is a key to my room. No, that was dad's key to your room. We hid that key to help keep dad out of our room.
See, we weren't complicit. We were fighting back.
Yeah.
We were doing whatever we could.
Because he's screaming at the little Elliot, like, sorry, I couldn't protect you. Sorry, I couldn't protect you. Well, no, it's a little kid protecting Lena.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Darlene and Dom, and this is the big story. And they're zip-tied to the chairs, and Janice just wants, is being Janice, a ruthless psychotic bitch, if you will.
But of course, like any ruthless psychotic, she starts off with a fun story.
Oh, yeah.
About how lightning hit limestone and created concrete, and that's why we have houses. So if the lightning had never hit that limestone, then we might also be in mud and stick huts.
Great, crazy lady.
Yeah.
Essentially, she stabs Dom in the chest.
Oh, viciously.
Yeah.
Like, not repeatedly.
No, once.
You know, Darlene's like, I'm not giving up my brother.
Yeah.
So whatever you're going to do, make it quick. Janice goes, okay. And then right under the breast, just...
Yeah.
And you hear it squish in.
And essentially, she's like, well, I'm no expert. I'm 99% sure that I just punctured her lung. And she's going to slowly die now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take that blade out because, you know, then you'll die faster.
Yep.
And Darlene is essentially going to let Dom die.
Yeah.
And Dom's like, don't answer questions. It's not until Janice
did reveal, by the way, that they have a connection. She's like, yeah, you know.
Oh, God, yes.
You pleasure yourself to her interrogation video.
Yeah, basically Janice implies that they hacked into Dom's computer and through her webcam and watched her masturbating while looking at Dom. Well, yeah, no. then Janice calls. Well, then we see earlier Dom's family gets abducted. By masked men.
Which was really weird. It almost felt disjointed because I didn't realize that it was her family. I just knew that it was...
Well, I recognized her mom finally.
Okay. Yeah. See, I saw the punk kids and, you know, they sent him to a timeout. And then you see masked men come up, kick in the door and just abduct everyone. And I'm like, why are we doing this? But yeah, so it was...
And Janice calls and says, I'm just going to have... them start killing... I'm going to have them gut Judy and da-da-da-da. So that's when...
Well, Darlene... gives up the phone. She's like,
well, no, that's when Darlene says, stop.
Yeah.
Give me the phone. And
exactly.
Gives them Elliot's position.
Yep.
Now we see Janice's man over at the place where Elliot's phone last was, Krista's house. Mm-hmm. And then, he's not here with a hole in a dead body out.
Yeah.
And then we go back and now Janice is like, well, I'm going to now. I don't think you're like, basically Darlene's like, I told you where he was. I don't know where he is now. Dom's like, she's not lying. I know her face when she's lying. She's not lying. So Janice's like, well, I'm calling your bluff.
Yeah,
so she.
This is what we call an all-in move in poker.
Yeah,
and I'm calling your bluff.
So she's gonna have Dom's mom killed, and no one's answering the phone,
This was the coolest moment in the episode.
It really was. And Dom says, "Oh, they're not answering the phone. What? Why would you ask me that? How would you know that? Well, it's probably because of him. He's probably been trying to call me.
Yeah, you should check my phone. He's probably been trying to call me all
night. And it was the name in the phone was Lucky Irish Bastard.
Yes.
And she had 14 missed calls.
Yeah.
And I like this because essentially Janice calls him back, or he calls him, And he just starts talking like, hey, don't worry, I got your family. Cut to the back of the van. There's all Dom's family.
Yeah. We're taking them to the safe house.
They appeared to be tied up still.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were probably panicking. And he's like, look, I'm doing this. It's kind of like when you're taking a dog to the vet. And you're like, yeah. I'm doing this for your own good.
Yeah.
But you still got to put him in a crate.
And I like how he basically says several ways to tell Janice that. Like, oh, your men are dead. I killed all your men.
Because he's got the thick Irish accent. Yeah. She's like, speak English.
He's like, I shot him. He goes, I shot him in the head.
Yeah.
But don't worry, they died bravely. Well, except the couple that shot themselves. And he hangs up the phone.
Probably one of my new favorite characters just for that exchange.
Yeah. And Dom, one of Janice's men gets too close to Dom. She rips the blade out of her chest, cuts his fucking Achilles.
Mm.
He drops. She takes his gun, shoots the other henchman in the head, shoots Janice in the head, and then behind her own head, shoots the other guy in the head. It was bad to the ass.
It was fucking great.
Yeah. That was awesome. I'm so glad she's dead. Like, this episode, more than any other episode, just wanted me so bad for her to get her comeuppance.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, watching her on New Amsterdam, I'm like, oh, she went to jail. No, she did.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Dom grabs a phone, calls in that an officer is down, gives the address, and then tells Darlene, get out of here.
Go find your brother and stop them.
Yep.
Because she's like, you can't be here. And they get here. He's like, I don't care. They can arrest me. I'm not leaving you.
Right.
You know, this is my fault, essentially. And she's like, no, go get your brother. Stop them.
And because Janice had said early on, go ahead and kill me.
Yeah.
There are a million more that'll come and take my place.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Preview for the next episode looks pretty good.
I didn't see it. Tell me about it.
Basically, we get White Rose back, meeting with, what's his name there?
Yeah, they should be having this whole day, a group meeting
there. Yeah, but it looks like something's going wrong. You know, Darlene's out on the street, and she's like, what's going on? Something's wrong. And then at one point, you see Elliot pick up a phone right at the very end, and it's White Rose. He's like, hello? And he's like, I thought you'd like to talk about your friend Angela, because Phillip's there with him.
Yeah.
And,
are they implying Angela's alive? Because we saw her get shot in the head.
Do we know what we really saw, though?
Yeah, we saw her get shot in the head.
And we saw the photos of her head blown open.
Back and fall down as blood came out the front, and then we saw the photos of her dead body.
So basically, my thought is that White Rose is going to say, yeah, Philip let her die. Philip could have stopped
us
and walked away while we shot her in earshot of him. And that way, Elliot, you know, will be shaken and won't want to work with Philip. And yeah, probably. Still a great episode.
The Mandalorian. So, I'm going to let you give the breakdown. You're much better at this than me when it comes to Star Wars. However, all of my friends that I know on Facebook or whatever, Twitter.
You keep talking about all your friends.
Twitter, Internet Associates. How's that?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that these are good people.
No, a couple of them are. Some of them, I don't know. Okay. But anyways, it's just... Everyone loves this.
The show or this episode?
The show. Everyone loves this show. They love the episode, but they love this show. But at the same time, they are shit-talking episode 9 so much. Like... This is amazing. This is so great. I can't, but too bad. It's all going to start going downhill when episode 9 comes out. One's not connected to the other, but I think they're talking in general the love of Star Wars right now.
Right, right.
But, yeah, this was great.
This was phenomenal. More and more people. My mother said to me, she's like, have you seen Baby Yoda? And I'm like, how do you know Baby Yoda? She goes, it was on a show that I was watching, and they were talking about how great Baby Yoda is. Isn't he great? I'm like, you haven't even watched the show, and you love him. Baby Yoda is everything. Although, it's causing some dissension right now, because, like, people have GIFs up.
Yeah.
And, not gifts, but GIFs.
Yeah.
And apparently Disney's working to pull them off the internet because copyright, because Disney likes to protect their copyrights.
Yeah.
I get it, but at the same time, dick move, guys. You know, everybody loves Baby Yoda, and the more press you give him, the more you're going to have subscribers because they're going to want to watch the Baby Yoda show, a.k.a. The Mandalorian, which is really what it is. So basically this episode, he finally delivers the baby to Werner Herzog. And this was interesting. I didn't even realize this mattered, But apparently, when Cloud City is getting evacuated and Empire Strikes Back, there's a guy who's running along with this white container in his arm. And apparently people have wondered for years what that was, because it looked kind of like an ice cream maker. And now in this episode, Werner Herzog pops it up, and it's got all the Beskar steel in it. So it's essentially a safe deposit box kind of thing. It's a carrying container. So the internet was very excited that they finally got an answer for what happened back in Empire Strikes Back. I don't care. But so essentially, he hands over all that Beskar steel.
It's still cool, though.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I'm looking at the images from that, and
yeah,
it's an ice cream maker.
Yeah, it's basically it. And people were like, why has he got that? And now, years later, I don't know if, like, Jon Favreau specifically wanted that. Like, he had the question as well and wanted to answer. I don't know. But regardless, we now know that it's a safe deposit box or a bank bag, if you will. So all the Beskar steel is in there. He gives it to the Mandalorian. The Mandalorian's like, what are you going to do with it? Meaning the Baby Yoda. And he's like,
violates the code.
Yeah, he's like, that kind of violates your code. And he's like, get out. So he takes his payment and he goes back to talk to his Mandalorian buddies. And, this was interesting too, because we saw a lot more Mandalorians and they all kind of moth to a flame with the Beskar. Like, he sat down with the armor and he had all that Beskar steel, and they all kind of came out of the woodwork, including ones that looked like Boba Fett.
Yep.
But then you had the light infantry guy with the minigun who had the huge armor. Like, he's big.
Oof.
And he's like, this has the Imperial seal on it. It was melted in Imperial forges. You know, this shouldn't count. You're not even a real Mandalorian. And the armor is like, have you ever taken off your helmet? No. Do you live by the way? Yes, this is the way. You know, it basically gives this rundown, and she's like, then, you know what? He's a Mandalorian, and he follows us. And this guy's big beef was, he's like, we're all hiding underground. We can only go out one at a time. While this guy's basically a lapdog for the Empire, and he's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
So they almost come to blows, and they had that cool little standoff with the knife to the throat. And that's when she's, you know, as you would say, cuts her promo for the Mandalorians and says, you know, he's one of us. So
she makes the armor for him.
Yes. She says, he says, my chest piece is damaged. How did it get damaged? It got damaged by a mudhorn. And she's like, well, then that's your crest. And he goes, no, because it wasn't a solid kill. My enemy helped kill it.
Yeah.
And she's like,
why?
Your enemy? And he didn't know that he was my enemy. she's like, all right, then I'll make you some whistling birds, which are the little remote rockets.
Yeah.
But she says, I can make you a whole curious. She made him a whole fucking, like, it was the arms, it was the wrists, it was the chest. I mean, he was decked out in
legs,
chrome. Yeah.
And bright, like, shiny. So, like, he's walking around, and it's almost like, well, that's a little much.
Yeah. You now have a target on your back.
Right, essentially. Yeah, it's like, basically, hey, shoot me here. Well, actually, not here, where it's not shiny, shoot me. Exactly.
So you were going to say?
Well, no, but that's what I was going to say. Like, the whole how shiny it was, and it's almost like overkill armor he has on now. Like, how can he walk around comfortably and fly and fight? And then the rest he leaves for the children for initiations.
Yep.
And again, we see the flashbacks.
Which she says that because they had said that in the first episode, too. Remember, she was like, you know, leave this for some of the younglings. And he's like, this time he says it, and she goes, that's the way it should be.
And he, we see more of the flashback, and it's like his parents stick him in that bulkhead doors, and then before even getting closed all the way, something crushes them, it looks like.
Or an explosion or something.
Yeah. But so he goes and talks to Carl Weathers.
Yeah, which Carl Weathers is such a dick.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, everyone here hates you. Because you're awesome and you brought it in. He goes, how many of them had tracking fobs? He goes, all of them. Everybody had one, but you're the only one, Mando. You're the only one that got him. You're the only... Oh, my God, what a dick. I mean, the guy's already walking around in shiny, brand new armor. Yeah. He's like, oh, they all fucking hate you. And he asks Carl Weathers, too. He's like, what are they going to do with the kid? He's like, that's against the rules. Yeah. He's like, it doesn't matter. She's like, fine. give me my next bounty. And he goes, no, take some time off. You've got enough to relax, retire.
He also shows him, hey, look, see, I'm rich too. He shows him a couple plates of Besker steel he has in his upper pocket above his heart.
which that's kind of a dick move because that's supposed to be Mandalorian steel. Yep. And but anyway, so he's like, yeah, give me my next bounty. And he's like, all right, you can have your pick of the lot. And he shows him four pucks and he picks up the big one. And that's the best one yet. And he's like, I just want to be as far away from here as possible. And he goes out and he gets on a ship and he goes to fire it up and he finds the little stick shift knob where Baby Yoda had taken the sphere off there. And it's missing and it reminds me. He's like, oh, so he powers down his vehicle. And then he goes and kind of...
He screws the knob back up.
Right. And he goes and he slinks through some of the back alleys and he gets into a sniper position and basically uses thermals and some remote listening to listen in on them.
Yeah.
And the doctor is talking about how Werner Herzog is like, you know, have you extracted it all yet? And he's like, well, I'm working on it right now. But, you know, he's not going to be happy. Yes, well, we don't have to worry about that. Just hurry up and extract it, and then we don't need the kid anymore to dispose of it.
Right.
Is the long and the short.
Yeah.
But we don't know who he is because the audio kind of cut out in the middle there. So there's some unknown entity who is pulling the string.
Who's not going to be happy.
Right. So I was about to call him Boba. So Din is
Mando.
Mando.
I kind of don't like that.
I don't either.
Lando, Mando.
Well, not only that, but it's Mandalorian.
Right.
So it should be Mando, which is, you know, slang for Amanda. But anyway, so.
He goes on a one-man crew.
Which was so much awesome to watch.
Oh.
Because he didn't just, like, barge in the front door and start shooting. It was all stealth and hiding behind things and sneak attacks and. It was just great. Blowing a hole in the wall.
Taking out guys with blades initially and like announcing his presence and then being ninja-like about it.
Exactly.
And then getting in a shootout.
Which kind of answers your question about how he could move around in the armor.
Right.
Apparently pretty well.
Pretty well, yeah.
Yeah, because those stormtroopers, they didn't know what the fuck hit them.
I love the scene when he leaves with a kid and it cuts to Carl Weathers in the bar and his tracker starts going off. And then everyone's fob is going off. And then you cut to the Mandalorian walking through town to go to a shuttle, and you see everyone kind of coming up, and then finally they circle him, and then we...
Well, before that, when he breaks into the facility, he gets all the way in there, and he finds the room, and he finds the doctor, and basically when the doctor opens the door, he holds him hostage, and he's like, what have you done to him? And he's like, I've been protecting him, he's just a child. Like, the doctor obviously valued this creature's life right. as well. And so Din is going to shoot him, and he's cowering in the corner, I was trying to protect him, and then he looks up, and Din's gone, the baby's gone, and Din blows through his whistling birds already, because he gets surrounded by stormtroopers on the way out, and fires them off, and seek out and destroy all of them. So yes, now we get the Butch and Sundance, Young Guns, Alamo.
Dude, we get the ultimate, like, single, one man against the world, Western shootout, where he's got cover, and he's killing people left and right, and then he takes out the disintegrating gun, and blasting people across. That's a good weapon you have there.
Yeah. You know? And then everybody starts backing off because they're like, shit, I don't want to get disintegrated.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of the bounty hunters are out there to stop him. And you get to watch, like, as he's walking and one starts coming in behind him and another one. And then, like you said, he's just surrounded. So yeah, he's kicking a lot of ass, but then he gets pinned down. He's in the back of a...
Yep.
He makes his way over to the back of a thing where there are a couple of guys.
A droid driving a little wagon trawler or whatever you want to call it.
And he throws these guys out, kills them, throws them out, and then he tells the droid to drive, and the droid's like, ah, and he's like, just drive! So he's going through the town, and Carl Weathers is the only one, like, I'm screaming out, I'm like, well, not screaming, but I'm like, shoot the droid!
Yeah.
So everybody else is shooting at him, and then Carl Weathers is like, bam, bam! Kills the droid, the thing crashes. So now he's trapped, he's pinned inside this little barge, everybody's lighting the thing up.
Couple guys sneak up behind him.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the Mandalorian Enclave.
Holy shit.
Comes to the rescue.
Jetpacks galore, guns raining down fire from the sky.
The guy with the big, like, Gatling gun.
Mini gun, yep.
Oh, that was awesome.
They've all got their jetpacks. They're all, like, coming in hot. Yeah. They ripped that place up. Not a single one of them took damage.
Yeah.
I mean, they just fucked everybody. Because they've been hiding.
Yep.
So
no one knew they're there.
It's just like nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
nobody expects the Mandalorian Enclave. So, but the guy that he had gotten to the fight with earlier was just like, take the kid, go.
We'll cover you.
And he's like, but we're going to have to, we're going to have to hide the Enclave again. We're going to have to, you know, move basically. And he's like,
this is the way.
This is the way. And he takes the kid and they fly away. And
yep. Carl Weathers gets shot right in the chest.
While he's hiding out on the ship. And yeah. And
oh, yeah, that's right. He was hiding out on the ship.
The Mandalorian gets the draw on him and shoots him. But he hits him right in the Beskar steel.
Yep.
Probably on purpose, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he just wanted him off the ship. And then they take off. And
I love the scene. He unscrews the little knob and gives it to Baby Yoda.
Yep. And then we see one Mandalorian come up doing a rocketeer thing.
Yes.
Basically,
that's
just like
he salutes,
gives him the salute. And then Din just looks over and he goes, I got to get one of those.
I love that we don't have a scenes from next week.
Yes, I do too.
I just don't want to know anything about it.
But I know that, for instance, I know that Ming-Na Wen is in this.
Yes, I know that Gina Carano's in it.
Yes.
I know, you know,
we still haven't seen them, and I'm so fucking excited.
I love this series so much.
I do too.
I've watched this episode twice.
It's so freaking good. And they're short episodes, but I love that. They're digestible. They're fun.
They're packed.
They are.
They're packed.
Yep. Oh, what a great show. God damn it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for us.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk more about this show and Mr. Robot and other shows.
That's right.
We got some fall finales coming up this week, I believe.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward, though, to, like, I flicked on Netflix the other day, and there was a bunch of shows that either I started watching and haven't finished,
yeah,
or that, like, came back, like, The End of the Fucking World is back for season two.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of that yet.
The Witcher is coming out in December. I still haven't watched season three of Big Mouth, which I'm really fucking excited about.
I'm looking forward to, I got two more weeks of school. This is week 7. Next week is week 8. And then I get, like, a month off.
I really wanted you to be like, this is week 7, next week is week 9.
And I get a month off.
Nice.
And then a lot of shows are on hiatus, so I'll be able to catch up on some of that oddball stuff.
Yep, I'm going right to Amazon as well for some of those shows, some of the originals. I'm much more interested now in Homecoming because I see what Sam Esmail does with this show, and I really want to know what's going on with that one.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It'll be good. Nice.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. I'm Twitter, I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that is the show.
Thank you. And now you get back to the screen.
Yeah, I know. There it is.